Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, let me share with you the commission of the ministry that was given to Joseph Hedgecock many years ago. He said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They've sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts." He said, "I've given them those things, and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit that it never fulfilled, that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me, just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time." Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. This message is for those who want to get to know Him and grow up in Him. Today I'm speaking about winning Christ. Paul was speaking to the church in the book of Ephesians. This is Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 to 19. This is Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 16. "That He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man." Verse 17. "That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love," verse 18, "may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height," verse 19, "and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God." Paul had to speak to the church about Christ dwelling in them, even though they were born again. You cannot fathom the love of God until you get on the narrow way yourself. It is based on submitting to God and strengthening the inner man. If you are still feeding the flesh, Christ will never dwell in your hearts by faith. Jesus said to the disciples following Him in John 14, verses 21 to 23. This is John chapter 14. I'm reading verse 21. "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loves me, and he that loves me, he shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him." Verse 22. "And Judas said unto him," not Iscariot, "Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world?" Verse 23. "Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him." Sowing love into God on the narrow way brings about an intimacy that enables Jesus and the Father to dwell in us by the Spirit that you received at salvation. Jesus said in John 14 and verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Jesus' commands are not the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament, but the commands He decides we keep by the grace of God. It is a privilege to obey His commands. We can sow love back into Him now when we obey His commands. John says in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19, "We love Him because He first loved us." We have to keep obeying as well, otherwise we'll run out of love again. John said in 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, I'm reading. This is 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 7. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God." Verse 8. "He that loves not knows not God, for God is love." God is the only source of pure love. Man's love is selfish. Christianity is not just another religion, but a love relationship with the living God. You can be born again. However, by keeping God's commands, you are born of God because you do everything His way out of love, and God is love. John said in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loves him that is begotten of him. Normally, those who are born again fall in love with God and then grow up in love spiritually, seeking and obeying Jesus' commands. However, this is not taught in the church. Instead, faith is emphasized for salvation. However, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 13, "And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity." It is now possible for God to dwell in those who are born again, to get to know him by keeping his commands after the cleansing of their sins at the cross. John said in 1 John chapter 2, verses 2-5, I'm reading. This is 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 2. "And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." Verse 3. "And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments." Verse 4. "And he that says, I know him, and keeps not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." Verse 5. "But whosoever keepeth his word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him." For more information on developing a love relationship with God, please read the book How Love Grows by Joseph Hedgecock. By seeking God for commands, you will never run out of love, even for those in the body of Christ who have the ministry of sandpaper. John said in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 2, "By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments." God makes sure that everyone has a chance to sow love before it's too late. If you do not like what you're reaping, change your sowing by seeking God's commandments for your life instead. Paul said in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. This is in the book of Galatians chapter 6. I'm reading verse 7. He says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Verse 8. "For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Use the abundance of love you have received to seek bigger commands. You will reap more love by keeping his commands, because you are sowing into God and he makes sure you get more love back than you sowed. This is how you know you have the same operating system of God. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1-3, I'm reading. This is in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Verse 2. "Where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience." Verse 3. "Among whom also we had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." The devil is selfish and will encourage you to be selfish, leading to your own destruction. You can be sure that every command that comes from God for your life is based on love, because God cannot deny himself. If you keep investing in the flesh, you are serving the devil unawares. John continues in 1 John chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. This is 1 John chapter 5. I'm starting in verse 3. "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." Verse 4. "For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith." The word grievous in Strong's is number 926. It comes from another word which means weighty, that is figuratively burdensome or grave, heavy or weightier. His commands will not slow you down or stop you from finishing your race on the narrow way. To win the crown of life, you need to overcome the corruption in this world, in every activity. John gave his own testimony in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. In the book, My Sheep Hear My Voice, Revised Edition, in chapter 1, Knowing God, on pages 2 and 3, Joseph Hedgecott says, "My personal relationship with God is of little benefit to you because you must experience it for yourself. You may praise God for what you see in my life or someone else's, but it's not the same as having that personal relationship yourself. It is somewhat like being a spectator at a sports event rather than being a player in the game. It is enjoyable to watch the game, but it's a lot more exciting to be involved in the actual playing. There is much more to win or lose if you're a player. It is the same way in having a relationship with God. Because of what I have invested in developing a personal fellowship with God, that relationship is of far greater value to me than it is to someone who may observe that relationship. They may see its merit, but it does not mean a lot to them because they have spent the years developing it that I have. We receive what we really need in the kingdom of God through a relationship with God, keeping his commandments on the narrow way. God is no man's debtor. Jesus said to those disciples following him, "If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Keeping his commands will prepare you for eternity. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 4 to 7. I'm reading 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 4. "For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life." Verse 5. "Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also has given unto us the earnest of the Spirit." Verse 6. "Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord." Verse 7. "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Paul was confident that through the earnest of the Spirit, there would be little or no difference in the quality of communication now on the narrow way and Christ's kingdom when he appears on this earth. The outpouring of God's Spirit is God's investment in the early disciples, and it is now available for anyone with a heart after God. Paul saw it as important to be faithful. You might get a glorified body when he appears, but you can work and develop your ability to obey him now in the meantime. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 17. This is in the book of Ephesians chapter 5. I'm starting in verse 15. "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Verse 16. "Redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Verse 17. "Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." You should be using every opportunity to learn from your mistakes and realize whenever you are in the flesh and repent. In this corrupt world, you can quickly reap the consequences of sin and realize you miss the Lord. In my training, I would hear now and again, "It does not take you long to know you missed it." I had to repent and not blame the devil. In the book, The Guilted Prison, Revised Edition, at the end of chapter 11, on how to escape, on page 99, Joseph Hedgecott writes, "Walking in the Spirit neutralizes Satan's traps and delivers you from the prisons of your flesh. Avoid anything that makes your flesh comfortable, as the devil will make you even more comfortable. Going from a life in the flesh to a life in the spirit is a change of operating systems. You need a new heart, or CPU for computer people. The changeover is uncomfortable only because through the lust of the eyes and your own efforts, you were serving the devil. We read in 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 17 and 18. This is in 1 Kings chapter 18. I'm starting in verse 17. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? Verse 18. And he answered, And I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Jesus could have kicked out the devil a long time ago, but he is not the root problem. God can send someone like Elijah to halt the rampant outgrowth of wickedness. However, the problem is in God's people, using their minds and forsaking his commands. Some of the top Christian leaders today have been recorded saying, God has given you a brain. He expects you to use it. Those who tell people to use their minds are enemies of the cross. Paul said in the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verses 17 to 19. I'm reading the book of Philippians, chapter 3, starting in verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as ye have us for an example. Verse 18, For many walk of whom I have told you, and often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Verse 19, Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Those who are on the narrow way are denying themselves daily so that the flesh is not fed. They do not just listen to common sense and reason. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 to 30. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, starting in verse 27. You have heard that it was said by them of old, that thou shalt not commit adultery. Verse 28, But I say unto you, that whosoever looks on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Verse 29, And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Verse 30, And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Those using the wisdom of this world, their own eyes and their own hands to make their own lives more comfortable, are in danger of hell. Paul was speaking about Jesus in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. This is in Hebrews chapter 5, starting in verse 8, Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Verse 9, And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. To complete your salvation in Christ, you have to trust and obey and stop leaning to your own understanding. You need to abide in him and not just visit Christ. You'll have to suffer and go without. Paul said in Colossians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. This is in the book of Colossians chapter 2. I'm starting verse 10. And you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Verse 11. In whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision, made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Christ's circumcision includes putting away activities that are not part of God's plan for your life. You need to seek the minimum conditions for your salvation, and he will remove activities and any career you have chosen yourself that is not based on his love for you. Christ's circumcision will affect what you do in your spare time, that can potentially feed your flesh. Hobbies that are not part of your calling can take up precious time. In the autobiography of Charles Finney, on page 159, he writes, "Sinners were not encouraged to expect the Holy Spirit to convert them while they were passive, and never told to wait God's time, but were taught unequivocally that their first and immediate duty was to submit themselves to God, to renounce their own will, their own way, and themselves, and to instantly deliver up all that they were and all that they had to their rightful owner, the Lord Jesus Christ. They were taught that the only obstacle in the way was their own stubborn will, that God was trying to gain their unqualified consent to give up their sins and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their righteousness and salvation. The point was frequently urged upon them to give their consent, and they were told that the only difficulty was to get their own honest and earnest consent to the terms upon which Christ would save them, and the lowest terms upon which they could possibly be saved. You are completing Christ, so why do you still get in the flesh? You're supposed to repent of looking after yourself and let him supply all your needs. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." In the book, The Gilded Prison, revised edition in chapter 4, on page 40, Joseph Hedgecott writes, "The root of all sin is your lordship along with its natural understanding, desires, and agendas. Your sins can be blatant or subtle. You might be tempted by obvious lusts of the flesh or do good works to be righteous in yourself. You may also have personal desires that are legitimate requests. But instead of asking God to meet your needs, you pursue those desires from your carnal nature. Those who are walking by faith function through seeking his kingdom and his righteousness first." Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse 33, this is in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Those things God adds when you seek his kingdom are legitimate. Those things you get using your reason and understanding are not. God rewards those following Christ, diligently seeking and serving him. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, "But without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Joseph Hedgecott, the author of the book, My Sheep Hear My Voice, went through a breaking and fell in love with God. He stopped playing golf. He had worked hard all his life to get a top job in the security business, working in Florida, and that meant nothing to him anymore. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 to 11, I'm reading. This is in Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 8. "Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." Verse 9. "And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." Verse 10. "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death." Verse 11. "If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead." The word "win" in Strong's is number 2770. It means to gain, literally or figuratively. To get gain or win. It is amazing that people work hard to gain something in this world, like a new house, fulfill a dream, or travel the world, but they are not willing to give up something temporal to gain something eternal. If this is your problem, you will lose Christ. Jesus was speaking in Luke 9, verses 23 to 25. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 9. I'm starting verse 23. And he said unto them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Verse 24. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Verse 25. What is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be a castaway? Most churches teach that just because you are born again, you have won or gained Christ, without making Jesus your first love or keeping his commandments. This is not the truth. Jesus said in John chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. This is John's Gospel, chapter 3. I'm reading verse 7. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. Verse 8. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell from where it comes or where it goes. So it is everyone that is born of the Spirit. You will not impress or win Christ over making any excuses for using your natural mind and not consistently obeying the Holy Spirit. Jesus was speaking in Luke chapter 12, verses 42 to 44. This is in Luke's Gospel, chapter 12. I'm reading verse 42. And the Lord said, Who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Verse 43. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find him so doing. Verse 44. Of a truth, I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he has. Some think that it's going to be easier once you're born again. You will face a few challenges if you try to do God's perfect will. Your own flesh will complain. The devil will feel nervous and offer you a way that seems right instead. Carnal Christians will not help you, as they think you are crazy asking God everything. You will not get any help financially from the world, unless you have some assets that can be seized in case the project fails. God provides some finances to do the work, but he has to be Lord of the work. You might get a rich sponsor to build a sculpture of praying hands, but you will not get any help to get on your knees and pray. There is a price to be paid for following Jesus. You need to operate the same way as Christ if you want to win Christ. Jesus said in John 5:30, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father, which has sent me. If you've already got off the narrow way, it's because you did not crave the sincere milk of the word and love conviction. You will always have to keep working on your motive and attitude. Every level of maturity. God's education system is not like this world. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 5, I'm reading. This is 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Verse 3, if so be ye that have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Verse 4, to whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Verse 5, ye also as lively stones are built up in a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Jesus is the living stone who submitted himself to the Father. He came to do his perfect will, die on the cross, fulfilling the law and the prophecies of Scripture about him. If you want to win Christ, you have to be a lively stone too. Deny yourself and take up your cross. Those on the broad way listen to a wrong voice that says the narrow way is not necessary. You will not be saved if you keep making excuses for your flesh. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Time is running out. Whatever God says is a dead work now will burn up. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 13 to 15. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm reading verse 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Verse 14. If any man's work abides, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. Verse 15. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. On the narrow way, there are daily challenges, and you have to be ready for the unexpected. If you're not ready for the unexpected, how will you be ready to rule with Christ? God's ways are so much higher than man's ways. If you are following Christ, he will warn you of what is coming next. You cannot get those warnings on your smartphone. In the upper room, Jesus said to his disciples, in John chapter 16 and verse 13, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. Get on the narrow way and embrace the work of the Holy Spirit. Conviction is a work of the Holy Spirit, so that you have eyes to see what is eternal and what is temporal. Jesus was speaking in Luke 12, verses 16 to 21. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 12. I'm starting in verse 16. And he spoke a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. Verse 17. And he thought to himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. Verse 18. And he said, this will I do. I'll pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. Verse 19. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Verse 20. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these things be which thou hast provided? Verse 21. So is he that lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. If you have accumulated goods and wealth in this world, or riches, so you do not have to ask God everything, then you are in danger of losing your soul. God gave you health and strength and allow you to have everything for a purpose. Jesus said in Luke, Gospel, chapter 12, verses 45 to 48, I'm reading. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, starting in verse 45. But, and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delays his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maid servants, and to eat and drink, and to be drunken. Verse 46. And the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looks not for him, and an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. Verse 47. And that servant which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. Verse 48. But he that knew not, and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him much shall be required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. The wicked servant of God used his earthly position to control others and the accumulated wealth for eating and drinking. If you think that what you have in your house belongs to you, think again. James said in James chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. This is James chapter 1, starting in verse 16. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Verse 17. Every good and perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. The judgment be greater for those who can hear God, but are busy consuming the blessings that God gave them for another purpose. Paul said in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. This is Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. In these last days, just before he comes, those who want to keep eating and drinking will have to accept the mark of the beast first. Just like in the flood, those who ignore the clear warnings in the Bible will be left behind. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, verses 37 to 42. This is in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24. I'm reading verse 37. But as in the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Verse 38. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, unto the day that Noah entered into the ark. Verse 39, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Verse 40, then shall two be in the field, and one shall be taken, and the other left. Verse 41, two women shall be grinding at the mill, and one shall be taken, and the other left. Verse 42, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Get on the narrow way now, and do not leave entering the kingdom of God to the last minute, thinking that you will not be overcome by temptation. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 9 to 12. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm reading verse 9. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Verse 10. Neither murmur, as ye some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Verse 11. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Verse 12. Wherefore let him that thinketh he stands take heed, lest he fall. You may sin and come out of Christ a few times before you are good at abiding in Christ. You have to learn to live by faith and overcome temptation, to live in the kingdom of God now. Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, I'm reading verses 9 to 16. This is 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting in verse 9. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Verse 13. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickens all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. Verse 14. That thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 15, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Verse 16, who only hath immortality, dwelling in light, which no man can approach, unto whom no man hath seen, nor can see. To whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. The first word fight in verse 12 in Strong's is from another word which means a struggle or a competition. It means to contend or generally to endeavor or fight, labor or strive. The second word fight in verse 12 in Strong's is meaning literally a place of assembly. That is by implication an arena or a contest. Figuratively, a place of anxiety, conflict, contention. The first word fight means to labor or fervently strive. But you also need to get in the game. In this case, the contest of faith, if you want to win Christ. God has made it easy on the narrow way so that you only have to overcome temptation that is common to everyone. So make a start by denying yourself daily and taking up your cross. Paul continued in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. There had no temptation taken you but which is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. God can make a way where there seems to be no way. On the narrow way, there is no problem, as God provides a solution for those who are controlled by the Spirit. Timothy was told to flee from anything that was comfortable for his flesh, that could potentially shipwreck his calling. In the Amplified Bible, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 11 says, "But as for you, O man of God, flee from all these things, aim at and pursue righteousness, right standing with God, and true goodness, godliness, which is the loving fear of God and being Christ-like, faith, love, steadfastness, patience, and gentleness of heart." Timothy had a high calling, and he was told to follow after six things. Number one, righteousness, right standing with God, and true goodness measured by the fullness of the joy of the Lord. Number two, godliness, the loving fear of God, trust and being Christ-like, keeping the good confession. Number three, faith, trusting God, that he is trustworthy to do what he said he would do through the Holy Spirit. Number four, love, God's perfect charity with a pure motive and expecting no return except from God by keeping his commandments. Number five, patience or steadfastness, learning from your mistakes. Number six, meekness or gentleness of heart, because you know God in Christ Jesus has also forgiven your many sins. You can compromise your righteousness. John said in 1 John chapter 3 in verse 8, "He that commits sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." You do not have to fight the devil. Jesus defeated the devil at the cross. So shouting at the devil or commanding demons to leave is a dead work unless God told you to do it. The devil is not the problem, and God is certainly not the problem either. We read in Jeremiah chapter 7, verses 23 to 26. This is in the book of Jeremiah chapter 7. I'm reading verse 23. "But this thing commanded I them, saying, Obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you." Verse 24. "But they hearken not, nor incline their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward." Verse 25. "Since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt unto this day, I have even sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them." Verse 26. "Yet they hearken not unto me, nor incline their ear, but harden their neck, and they did worse than their fathers." The overall battle belongs to the Lord. To stay on the narrow way, you have to keep your mind and heart still and hear God clearly and do what he says, or you're going backwards spiritually. We read in the Psalms, chapter 46, verses 8 to 10. This is in the Psalms, chapter 46, I'm reading verse 8. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. Verse 9. He makes wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in sunder. He burns the chariot in the fire. Verse 10. Be still and know that I am God, and I will be exalted among the heathen, and I will be exalted in the earth. When God exalts himself among the heathen, there will be no more grace. The day of no repentance is coming soon. And if you're easily tempted to do something out of your own mind, then you have not entered into the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18, verses 3 and 4. This is Matthew's gospel, chapter 18. I'm reading verse 3. And said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. As a little child, it's not difficult to win the contest of faith if you deny yourself and take up your cross. You might cry like a baby on the narrow way at first if you have to go without something. But you can repent and learn. There are only two rules in the kingdom. Number one, whatever the Holy Spirit tells you to do, do it. Number two, whatever the Holy Spirit tells you not to do, do not do it. The striving to enter the kingdom includes departing from iniquity and making no excuses for sin. Jesus said in Luke 13, verses 22 to 28. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 13. I'm reading verse 22. And he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying towards Jerusalem. Verse 23. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there a few that would be saved? And he said unto them, verse 24, strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Verse 25, when once the master of the house is risen up and is shut to the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not from where you come. Verse 26. Then shall you begin to say, We have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. Verse 27. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not from when you come. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. Verse 28. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. The Jews are warned that they would do more than cry if left outside. The kingdom is here now, by the Spirit, for everyone. And those listening to the Spirit on the narrow way will enter and be part of the marriage supper. God put his own chosen people outside, and he will do the same for those grafted into the vine if they keep making excuses for sin. Paul said in Romans 11, verses 15, and I'm reading to verse 25. This is Romans 11, starting in verse 15. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? Verse 16. If the first root be holy, the lump is also holy. If the root be holy, so are the branches. Verse 17. If some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree were grafted in among them, and with them partakers of the root and fatness of the olive tree. Verse 18, boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but you are the root. Verse 19, thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Verse 20, well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. Verse 21, for if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. Verse 22, behold therefore the goodness and the severity of God. on them which fell severity, but towards thee goodness. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off. Verse 23, and they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. Verse 24, for if thou were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these which be the natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? Verse 25, for I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel, unto the fullness of the Gentiles become in. There is no shortcut to holiness. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 to 14. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, and verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way, that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in that way. Verse 14. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. The broad way is a life of compromise, leading to more corruption, more sin, and eventually your own destruction. Many have faith in themselves that they can just commit one more sin and still stop. Through a confidence in the flesh, you will stay on the broad way, lose your soul, be controlled by the devil, and become addicted to the things of the world. Denying yourself daily is required from the moment you are born again. It's better to be poor and to be free from corruption than to be rich and a slave to sin. James said in James chapter 1, verses 9 to 12. This is James chapter 1, I'm reading verse 9. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. Verse 10. But the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. Verse 11. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withers the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Verse 12. Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he's tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. You cannot claim to love God if you love the things of this world. Those who are not doing the will of God are going to perish. John said in 1 John chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. This is 1 John chapter 2, I'm reading verse 16. For all that is in this world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Verse 17, and the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that does the will of God abides forever. You can take a quick test and know if you're in the Spirit or not. This is not a test for some viral infection, but it's a test of your spiritual temperature. God provides a daily test for you to examine yourself. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Some people want to avoid the test because they are too proud to say hallelujah. He allows trials and difficulties so that you can realize whether or not you are walking in the faith. Those who seek his instructions and commands will pass through the trials unaffected and be ready for eternity. Those who use natural wisdom will be left behind. Jesus can prevent everything bad happening to you, but he does not. Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 34, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Either you are hot, cold, or lukewarm. Walking in the Spirit is what makes you hot. Walking in the flesh is what makes you cold. You might rely on some preacher or a church gathering or some special prayers of deliverance. This can even be a form of idolatry, relying on those things he provides instead. You just need to learn to hear the Lord for yourself. Paul said in Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27, I'm reading, This is in the book of Galatians, chapter 3. I'm reading verse 26. For you are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Verse 27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Your wedding dress is Christ. He has paid the price so that you can be clothed properly. But you must hear and obey the Holy Spirit. If your flesh is not crucified, then you have not put on Christ. Paul had to remind the church in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. This is Romans chapter 6. I'm reading verse 3. Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Verse 4. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. If you continue using your mind, buying what you want, when you want, you'll be condemned with this world. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 32, but when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. You are asleep spiritually if you are born again and your life has not been transformed already. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Christianity is presented as a religion with numbers of those who attend church services. The church likes to record converts who have repeated the sinner's prayer, but does not want to make disciples. Someone just born again can start with a few baby steps, and others can start with some big decisions. But those unwilling to follow Jesus are not disciples. The size of the first step is not important. In a modern church, a new convert gets baptized in lemon juice. Someone who gets on the narrow way is called a fanatic, especially if the whole church gets under conviction and starts to feel uncomfortable. David said in the Psalms, chapter 16, verses 8 to 11, I'm reading. This is in the Psalms, chapter 16, I'm starting in verse 8. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Verse 9. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh shall also rest in hope. Verse 10. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life, and in thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Joy is a fruit that you are in right standing with the Lord now, and have not compromised your righteousness. John said in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 7, little children, let no man deceive you. He that does righteousness is righteous, even as he's righteous. You are cleansed of all unrighteousness by the blood of Jesus when you are born again, but you need to maintain that righteousness through regular repentance led by the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 27, this is in Matthew chapter 16, I'm reading verse 27, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father and with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. The devil is offering Bible-based courses instead, where you can learn corrupted doctrines in churches to stop you from seeking truth and coming under conviction. The wrong way of learning started very early in the church. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 to 5, I'm reading, this is in the book of Revelation, chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Verse 2. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou cannot bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and has found them liars, and has borne, and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. Verse 4, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Verse 5, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. The priority is for you to go back now and find out where you have fallen from the faith. Pick yourself up again and repent. Your progress stops when you stop following Christ on the narrow way. Jesus said in John chapter 3 and verse 15, this is in John's Gospel, chapter 3 and verse 15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In the Amplified Bible, John 3:15 says, in order that everyone who believes in him, who cleaves to him, trusts him, and relies on him, may not perish, but have eternal life, and actually live forever. To believe on his name means you divorce the flesh and cleave to him, because you are getting married to Jesus. The keeping of his commandments is your spiritual engagement ring. You have to accept Jesus as functional Lord of your life, because he is now your authority. Jesus said in Matthew 7 and verse 21, not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of the Father which is in heaven. Just being born again is not enough to enter the kingdom of God. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 to 15. This is in Hebrews chapter 3. I'm reading verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Verse 13, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Verse 14, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Verse 15, while it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. One godly preacher was asked how many people were converted after preaching at a big rally. The godly preacher answered, we will find out next month when I go again and see who is still following Christ. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. This is Hebrews chapter 4, I'm reading verse 9. There remains therefore a rest to the people of God. Verse 10. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Those who've entered the rest believe and do not doubt his ability to provide what they really need in this dark, corrupt world. If you're making excuses for your flesh and it is still comfortable, you have let the flesh do what it wants instead. Repent and humble yourself. Deny yourself daily until the flesh dies. If you are making decisions based on what you see, then you're not following Christ. Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, verses 24 to 26. This is Galatians chapter 5. I'm starting in verse 24. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Verse 25. If you live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Verse 26, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. Do not replace consistently hearing God in the small things with acts of ministry. You may cause others to stumble and not see the value in asking God everything in every detail. We read in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 15. This is Proverbs chapter 3. I'm starting in verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not your own understanding. Verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Verse 8. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Verse 9. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the firstfruits of all thine increase. Verse 10. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Verse 11. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. Verse 12. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delights. Verse 13. Happy is the man that finds wisdom, and the man that gets understanding. Verse 14. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. Verse 15. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Those seeking the Lord himself are not looking for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. The greater includes the lesser. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 30 and 31. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm reading verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, whom of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Verse 31. That according as it is written, he that glories, let him glory in the Lord. Joseph Hedgecock, the author of the book My Sheep and My Voice, spent 2 years seeking the authority just to know God. Joseph was reading just scripture 12 to 15 hours a day, looking for the conditions to know God that he needed to accept personally. His books are full of wisdom and understanding that he got seeking God and putting the kingdom first. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27. I'm reading Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. Verse 25. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Verse 26. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and does them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. Verse 27. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Those in big conferences worshipping and praising God might be hot at that time, but if they do not learn to walk in the Spirit, they will end up deceiving themselves. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. This is Revelation chapter 3. I'm reading verse 15. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. Verse 16. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Noah Webster in 1828 defined lukewarm as moderately warm, tepid, as lukewarm water, lukewarm heat, not ardent, not zealous, cool, indifferent, as lukewarm obedience or lukewarm patriots. In the book The Guilted Prison, revised edition, in chapter 5 on page 47, Joseph Hedgecock says, believers are often in prison simply because they are spiritually apathetic. They do not want to pay the price to be free from Satan's snares. They settle for living in the flesh because it seems too difficult to overcome their natural desires. Spiritual laziness affects believers in many ways. Ask the Holy Spirit if any of these attitudes manifest in you. Number one, you have low expectations of receiving God's promises because you believe you do not deserve his love or blessings. Number two, you do not pursue God's plans because they require you to repent and change. Number three, you are too lazy to study the Bible. Number four, you are unwilling to develop the heart of a soldier who destroys the works of the devil. Number five, you are a lukewarm believer. Relying on ministry works is not the same as trusting God on the narrow way. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 22 and 23, This is Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Verse 23. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You may not want to hear the truth that you are still serving the flesh through bad habits and making excuses for not hearing the Lord. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 14, wherefore he says, awake thou that sleeps, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. The devil will make you so comfortable serving the flesh so that you fall asleep. James said in James chapter 4 and verse 4, you adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore would be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Repent fully and start pressing towards the mark. All things are possible with God if you are willing to walk in the Spirit and overcome the flesh. If you feed the flesh by making excuses, then it will get harder to hear the Lord the next time. Paul said in Galatians 5 and 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In the book The Gilded Prison, Revised Edition, in chapter 10 on hindrances to gaining freedom, on pages 89 to 90, Joseph Hedgecott writes, not accepting responsibility for your decisions leads to the belief that you cannot be free unless those who sin against you repent of their actions or your circumstances change. You consider yourself a victim who cannot change because of what has happened to you. Such beliefs take the responsibility for gaining freedom out of your own hands. You can do nothing about the actions of others who attack you spiritually, emotionally, or physically. However, you can choose how you respond to what they do, and your reaction to difficult circumstances God allows in your life. The devil can only get access through the flesh. If you do what you think or do what you want, then you're going to end up on a way that seems right, serving the devil. We read in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You will end up going around and around in the wilderness, not because God is stopping you from entering the promised land, but because you will not deal with the flesh. You cannot enjoy the goodness of God because you will end up using things in a wrong way and destroy God's paradise in the meantime. We read what happened when sin first came into the world in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 7. And the eyes of them were both opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. You cannot enjoy the promised land God has for you until you stop doing things in the flesh and consulting your own mind. Many in the body of Christ are still naked. Jesus continued in Revelation chapter 3, verses 17 to 19, I'm reading. This is in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, I'm starting in verse 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable, and poor and blind and naked. Verse 18. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness does not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salver, that they may see. Verse 19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. The priority right now is for you to buy the clothes you need for your wedding day. You cannot just order your dress online and pay for it. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 22, verses 8 to 14, I'm reading Matthew chapter 22, starting in verse 8. Then said he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Verse 9. Go therefore into the highways, and as many as you shall find, bid them to the marriage. Verse 10. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. Verse 11. Then when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there was a man which had not on a wedding garment. Verse 12. And he said to him, Friend, how camest thou in here, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Verse 13. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Verse 14. For many are called, but few are chosen. You clothe yourself with Christ by living on the narrow way. You do this before he appears. Otherwise, you'll be naked at your own wedding and cast outside. Those Jews who were invited to the wedding were not worthy. Jesus is our righteousness, and we maintain this by following him. The Jews preferred to have a righteousness based on the law because in their minds they thought they could serve God and mammon. It is amazing that some will even suffer trying to keep God happy with false humility just so they can still be Lord of their own lives. Paul said in Colossians chapter 2, verses 20 and 23. This is in the book of Colossians chapter 2, starting in verse 20. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Verse 21. Touch not, taste not, handle not. Verse 22. Which are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men. Verse 23. Which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will, worship, and humility, and neglecting of the body, but in any honor of the satisfying of the flesh. You win Christ when your faith is tried in the fire. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold, that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. In the book My Sheep and My Voice, 2021 edition, in chapter 7, on counting the cost, on page 82, Joseph Hedgecott says, Just as a builder must count the cost before starting a construction project, you must count the cost to follow Jesus Christ. If you refuse to pay the price for Jesus to become your whole life, you will never enjoy constant communion with God. You will not be led by the Holy Spirit consistently. Many believers make an effort to walk in this message for a season. However, they only get to know God in a limited way. Their lack of success is the direct result of their unwillingness to give up their lordship. They refuse to count the cost or pay the price to follow Jesus because they do not trust him. Even though they profess to have faith in God, they are reluctant to give him full control. If you're not willing to be uncomfortable, then you'll be left behind. Jesus said in Luke 14, verses 26 to 30, I'm reading Luke chapter 14, starting in verse 26. And if any man comes to me and hates not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren, sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Verse 27. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Verse 28. For which of you intending to build a tower sits not down first and counts the cost, whether he is sufficient to finish it? Verse 29. Least happy after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it began to mock him. Verse 30. Saying, This man began to build, was not able to finish. Buy your spiritual clothes with a rich God-centered faith and go without something to do his will. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Verse 13. Meats for the belly and belly for the meats, but God shall destroy both it and them, now The body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Those who are the bride belong to him. Your body is for his use only. Using your body now is sin. When you do anything in the flesh, you'll become a slave again for what you're doing. But if the Spirit directs it, then you will not become a slave to sin, because you are doing it in obedience to God as part of your love relationship to God. We read in the book of Revelation, chapter 22 and verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. In the Amplified Bible, Revelation 22:17 says, the Holy Spirit and the bride, the church, the true Christians, say, come. And let him who is listening say, come. And let everyone come who is thirsty, who is painfully conscious of his need of those things by which the soul is refreshed, supported, and strengthened. And whosoever earnestly desires to do it, let him come, take, appropriate, and drink the water of life without cost. There are three groups of people here. Number one, the bride. Number two, those who have ears to hear. And number three, those who are thirsty. The bride has made herself ready. The Christian following Christ on the narrow way is always getting ready and says, come, Lord. Those who have ears to hear, wake up now and again. They can be sleeping until they hear a good message. They might be attending a nominal church, but when they hear a good message, they do not get offended. They wake up, but they are not necessarily living on the narrow way themselves. This group needs to say, come, Lord Jesus, if they're awake. They often have to be reminded that Jesus is coming soon. Jesus continued in Revelation chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. I'm reading the book of Revelation, chapter 3, starting in verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and he will sup with him, and he with me. Verse 21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcome, and am sat down with my Father in his throne. In these last days, those who are painfully conscious of what the soul needs and have been sowing to the flesh will still have a chance to get on the narrow way by knocking. Because of the time left, they can do this without the cost of following Christ. However, the devil will have authority to kill the saints at the very end, and some may have to give their lives to complete their calling in a short time. David was a man after God's own heart. David said in 2 Samuel chapter 24 and verse 24, and the king said unto Araunah, nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. There is a price for following Jesus, because this is part of a relationship with God. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 8 to 12. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I'm reading verse 8. We are confident, I say, and willing, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Verse 9. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad. Verse 11. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. Verse 12. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. Paul said there should be no difference between what you are doing now and what you would do if Christ suddenly appeared. If it's pleasing to him now, it should also please him if you saw him standing in front of you. Are you in the flesh or in the spirit? Jesus said, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. You need to be born of God if you want to win Christ, not just be born again. John said in 1 John 4, verses 15 to 18, this is 1 John chapter 4, I'm reading verse 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. Verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwells in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Verse 17. Herein is our love made manifest, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment, and he that feareth is not made perfect in love. You have to fight to stay in the game and not become a spectator. You'll be chastened. You will grow with messages inspired by the Holy Spirit if you respond to the conviction you experience and repent fully. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 34, Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. In the Amplified Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 34 says, Awake from your drunken stupor and return to sober sense and your right minds and sin no more. For some of you have not the knowledge of God. You are utterly and willfully and disgracefully ignorant and continue to be so, lacking the sense of God's presence and all true knowledge of him. I say this to your shame. Do not deceive yourself. Faith is trusting God with all your heart. Paul said in Romans chapter 14 and verse 23, And he that doubts is damned if he eats, because he eats not of faith. For whosoever is not of faith is sin. In the book My Sheep and My Voice, Revised Edition, in chapter 4, on hearing the Lord, on page 32, Joseph Hedgecott says, This is a simple truth. Anything you do that is not based upon trusting God is sin. What if you do something good out of your own flesh without trusting God? That is the very same thing Eve did. She did something that looked good, but was the opposite of trusting God, obedience. It was sin. If she had trusted God, she wouldn't have disobeyed him. Whenever you disobey God, it is because you quit trusting him. If you trust him, you will obey regardless of the circumstances. It is that simple. Without obedience, there is no real trust in or love for God. The more you love and trust him, the more you obey him. Many believers quit obeying because they don't agree with something God has said. This is where faith comes in. It is easy to obey when you agree with God, but when he says something you don't like, you have to add faith to your love or you will make excuses and disobey. Paul said he knew the width and depth and height of the love of God. Through following Christ on the narrow way, he was pressing towards the calling in Christ Jesus and saw anything else as going backwards. He made no excuses for the flesh and wanted to be found in Christ regardless of the cost and wanted to win or gain Christ. If you want to hear or get to know and follow Jesus, then I can recommend this book, My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to make a fresh start and get on the narrow way, sow in the Spirit daily, experience full salvation and freedom through regular repentance, then I can recommend the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations for Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hedgecock. Do not accept a counterfeit version of Christianity based on religious works so you don't have to deny yourself daily and trust God with all your heart. If you know that you have resisted the truth and want to know why, then I can recommend the book, The Guilted Prison, revised edition by Joseph Hedgecock. Today I've shared a message about winning Christ. This is my passion, and I believe this should be your passion too, that you don't take your relationship with God for granted. You invest in your relationship with God. You spend time in the morning seeking God to find out what He wants. He is the one who sent you here. You cannot enjoy life. You cannot be who you're supposed to be if you're not seeking His commands. He sent you here with a purpose. And I pray that this message has rekindled in some way your passionate love for Him, and that you are now in a love relationship with God right now, where you're saying, yes, Lord, I want You. I want nothing else. I want to know You. I want to win You in a relationship where He is your first love. He loves you. But now you have an opportunity through the commands to develop a pure love that the world doesn't have. The world can't give this love, but you can get it through hearing and obeying His commands. Heavenly Father, I pray for those who are listening to this message, that they will love Your commands, that they will seek Your commands. They will make no excuses for the commands that You give them. They will believe that You love them. They will know and experience this love as they step out on the narrow way. And they choose to deny themselves daily and follow You. Father, I'm praying for them to experience Your love in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You can find a summary of the scriptures used in today's message below this video, either written out or on a link on our website. Our contact details will follow at the end of this message. Please get in touch. Tell us that your life has been transformed. God bless you.